Welcome to Torah Timecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Shaiwitz, and today we'll be studying Shoftim, Perek Tet Zayin, Chapter 16. We are now up to our last Perek of Shimshon. And the Shimshon that we meet here is not the same Shimshon that we have encountered earlier. Gone is his connection with Bnei Israel, and instead his story is fully centered around his life with the Plishtim. And this probably explained why our last Perek ended by saying that Shimshon was a shofet for 20 years, but yet we continue on with his story because the rest of the story really has very little to do in some way with Am Yisrael. So the story begins, Pasuk Aleph, Vayelech Shimshon Azata. So Shimshon goes down to Aza, Plishti city, Vayar Sham Isha Zona. He sees a prostitute there, Vayavoela, and he goes to her. And the Plishtim immediately find out that he is there. They wait through the night, planning to overtake him in the morning, but then in the middle of the night, in another feat of superhuman strength, Shimshon uproots the gates of the city and brings them to a hill facing Hebron. Now, this story is smaller than the usual stories that we see about Shimshon, but we're seeing the same pattern. Vayar, he sees a woman, he entangles himself with the Plishtim, and then he overtakes them in a feat of superhuman might. But then we get actually our most detailed story, which begins in Pasuk Dalet. And here comes the famous story of Samson and Delilah. Who is Delilah? And the funny thing is we have very little information. Was she Plishti? Were they married? The text tells us very little. But one thing that does stand out in this Pasuk is that word Vayehav. He loved her. And that replaced our earlier word, which is vayar, and he saw. So there seems to be some type of deeper connection on Shimshon's end towards Delilah. Finding out about this, the Plishtim again, trying to capture Shimshon, come to Delilah, and they say to her, Patioto, this is Pasuke, right? Convince him, trick him, find out. Ri'i, bameko chogadol, bamenuchalo, right? Find out his secret. What gives him his great strength? And therefore, how can we overpower him? What really makes Shimshon tick? And then they tell him, if you do that, we'll be able to capture him in order to overcome him. And in return, we are going to give you a large sum of money. And immediately, Delilah responds that she's in. And she begins immediately to try to convince Shimshon to tell her. In Pasuk Vav, Vatomer Delilah el Shimshon, Hagida Nali, tell me, what is the secret of your strength? And how would I be able to overpower you? And it's extremely jarring, I think, this asymmetry between Shimshon's reaction and Delilah's. He loves her, and she is willing to sell him out for any sum of money. And also, even to Shimshon's wife that he had found earlier in Timnah, it was under the threat of her own death and the death of her family that she tricked Shimshon into revealing the riddle. But here, it's only a money-making opportunity that Delilah sells herself out for. And Shimshon answers, if you bind me with 7 wet ropes, I'll be like anyone else. So the Plishti officers come, they bring Delilah the ropes, she ties him up, and they wait outside, waiting to ambush him. And Delilah calls out, Plishtim alecha Shimshon, the Plishtim are coming for you. But in that moment, Shimshon rips off the ropes like the way a wick would be pulled apart by fire. Pasukyo Delilah responds immediately, Vatomer Delilah al Shimshon, Hine atalta bi, right? You tricked me, Vatidaber like Savim. Ata hegid na li bameta asar. But now tell me the truth. How really would I be able to capture you? And then the pattern repeats itself again. Shimshon this time offers a different solution. Tie me up with new ropes. Delilah does that. She ties him up. She calls Plishtim alecha Shimshon again. The Plishtim are here. The ambush runs in. But once again, it's false. Delilah then turns to Shimshon again, third time of our cycle, and says, tell me, how could you lie to me again? Tell me what is the secret of your strength. And Shimshon responds, if you weave 7 locks of my hair into the web of a loom, I would be like any other man. And we can actually see the development here. This is in the third cycle of our story, that Shimshon's starting to give her pieces of information that are closer to the truth. Here's the first time that he reveals that there's something connected to his hair and that gives him his strength. So Delilah says, again, I will, you know, she's ready to try it. By the way, this time, no police team come. And I think they're beginning to doubt that Shimshon is really going to tell Delilah the truth. And for good reason. This is the third time. But once again, he comes right out of it. He pulls himself away from the ropes. He pulls himself away from the loom. And he has his strength. He still has his strength. And Delilah is really upset now. In Pasuk Tet Vav, she says to Shimshon, "Vatomer elav, Eich tomar ahavtich. V'libcha einiti. How do you say that you love me, but I see that your heart isn't really with me? Zeh shlosh pamim heitalta bi, v'lo higadta li b'met kochacha gadol. It's already three times that you tricked me, and you haven't told me about why you have this great strength. And pasuk tet zayin v'yehi ki heitzika lo b'dvareha kol hayamim v'ta'altzehu v'tiktzar nafsho lamut. And after she wore him down, and she pained him with all of her words and her constant begging, that finally, v'tiktzar nafsho lamut, Shimshon felt like he was going to die. By the way, just note here, we can keep this in mind, that this is a very similar description to Hashem's being worn down by either the suffering or the sins of Bnei Yisrael, as described in Perek Yud, where it said, v'tiktzar nafsho ba'amal Yisrael. And interestingly, here the psukim parallel the earlier description of Hashem's almost being worn down by Bnei Yisrael to Shimshon being worn down by Delilah. And then in Pasuk Yud Zayin, Vayaged la et kol libo. Finally, he told her everything that was in his heart. He told her the truth. And he said, Mora lo ala aroshi. I've never brought a razor, a haircutter to my head. Ki nazir elokim animi beten imi. Because I have been a Nazirite to God from the time that I'm in my mother's womb. V'im gulachti v'sar mimeni kochi. If you actually shave off my hair, I will lose my strength, and I will become kechol adam, like any other person. And finally, in pasuk yud chet, v'tera Delilah ki hi gidla et kol libo. She understood now that he was telling the truth, right? Because nikarim divrei emet, true words are understood. It's known when somebody says the truth. And this time, even though the plishtim haven't come, she calls them back and she says, come back, because now he's told me the truth. And the officers come, and the psukim don't forget to tell us that they brought the money with him. And in a very, very painful few psukim, in pasuk yutet, Delilah puts Shimshon to sleep on her lap. And she speaks to him, and then slowly she calls them, and they shave off seven locks of his hair. And then they begin to tie him up, to control him, and he loses his strength. Pasuk Chaf, Delilah says, again, Plishtim alecha Shimshon, Shimshon, the Plishtim are here. He wakes up from his slumber, and then he says, Eitzei kapam, bepam v'inayer, I'll be like any other time. I'll be able to escape from this. But he didn't know that Hashem had left him. And in fact, the plishtim overpower him in the poetic justice that was pointed out by Chazal. They gouge out his eyes. That was where Chazal said, just like Shimshon went after his eyes, his punishment is also with his eyes. And as an aside, when you get to Milachim and Yirmiyahu Tzidkiyahu, the last king of Israel before the Chorban, also has that same punishment where he didn't have the foresight of seeing the Chorban was coming, and his punishment is also the gouging out of his eyes. But Shimshon is then brought down to Aza and chained to the poles of and brought to a place where they begin to, where the plishtim are celebrating to their god Dagon. And everybody, they see him, they're so excited. In Pasuk Chavdalid, Vayiru oto ha'am, v'yahalelu et Eloheim. They begin to like praise their god about everything that happened. Ki amru, and here they have a poem. Natan Elokeinu biyadeinu et oyveinu ve'et machriv artzeinu v'ashir hirba et chalaleinu. Right, God has now given us into our hands our enemy who destroyed our land and who made great destruction. And I'll just point out, there's been a lot of poetry here. So the plishtim also put their hands, you know, in the poetry, in the artistry piece. And they have a poem too. Just, it's not as good as Shimshon's, but there is a poem there as well. And finally, Shimshon cries out to Hashem. So we come back to that moment of greatest vulnerability. Shimshon has no one left. And once again, like we saw in the parak before, he turns to Hashem. Vayikra Shimshon el Hashem, this is Pasuk Chavchet, Vayomer, Hashem Elokim, Zachorinina, V'chazkenina, Ach HaPam Hazeh, please remember me, strengthen me just this one more time. V'en kama nakim achat mishtei enai, mi plishtim, and I will avenge one more vengeance for my eyes that the plishtim took away. And famously, Shimshon puts both of his hands, the plishtim are celebrating in a two-tiered place, like a celebration hall. And there are thousands of people on the roof, and there are thousands of people on the main floor. Shimshon rests his hands on the two pillars. We're told a few psukim earlier that his hair has started to grow back in a symbolic foreshadow of the fact that his strength will return one more time. Shimshon rests his hands on the two pillars that are holding up this platform where everybody is standing on the second level. And Shimshon says in Pasuk Lamed, Vayomer Shimshon, Tamut Nafshi Im HaPlishtim, I will now die with the Plishtim. And that is in fact what happens. He, with his superhuman strength that returns to him one last time, he pushes the two pillars apart and the building collapses, killing thousands of Plishtim, more Plishtim than he had been able to kill before. And in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, we have the very sad closing to our story. Vayirdu Achav v'chol beit avihu, his brothers and his father's house come down, vayis'u oto, they carry him, his dead body, vayya'alu vayikberu oto bein tsara'u bein eshta'o, they bury him back in the original place, those are the same words, in the cities where his original mission started to throb within him, and they bury him in the kever of Manoach, his father. And now we have once again, Hu shafat et Yisrael esrim shana. He judged Israel for 20 years. We're not told this time that the land was quiet or that they actually had any relief, but there were 20 years that he is one of the shoftim. He is one of these charismatic leaders of Israel. Now, the question that I think we have to deal with here and ask ourselves is, how could Shimshon have been so stupid? What went wrong here? Why did he reveal his secret to Delilah? And in any case, he shouldn't have revealed this secret. But Shimshon has had this experience before. First of all, at his wedding party, he revealed his riddle to his wife, and she gave it over right away to the plishtim. Actually, not right away. Only she gave it over after she wore him down first, and they wore her down. But he knows already that he can't trust her. But then with Delilah has already revealed three times what he told her when he gave her the incorrect information. And each time she was very happy to hand it over to the plishtim. So what is he thinking? Why does he think that this time that he will be saved? And I want to throw out a few possibilities. And I think the last one is the one that makes the most sense to me. But here's a number of possibilities. So one possibility is Shimshon is still trying to trick the plishtim. And somehow his ability to always get out of every situation has made him think that he will just always be able to overcome. And in fact, that is what happened in the story, meaning his initial reaction, even after they cut off his hair and he had lost his strength, he thought, Etse kapam bapam vina'er, right? I'll be able to get away just like I did every single time. So perhaps he had this sense of self that was so blown up from all of his past superhuman strength encounters that he thought even if he did break that, almost that breach that he had with God, that he would stay at Nazir Elokim, maybe he thought it wouldn't affect me. I would just be like any other time. Another possibility is that this theme that we've spoken about all along, that he's so pulled by women that maybe here again, women are just able to wear him down. But I think probably what feels the most true here is that what did Delilah do? She asked Shimshon for his secret. She asked him, what makes you tick? What's real here? Why are you who you are? Who are you? And deep down, Shimshon really just wants to be known.
David Grossman, an Israeli author, has a beautiful book about Shimshon. And in the book, he talks about that Delilah asked Shimshon the question that he's been trying to answer his whole life. Who are you? What makes you tick? How do you solve the riddle of your own life? And Shimshon had so much desire to understand himself and to be understood by someone else that he couldn't resist answering that question. And in a way, thinking about Shimshon, there are pieces of Shimshon that I think represent humans in general. And thinking back even to the creation of man and woman here it's specifically man, in the beginning of Breishit Perek Bet, man is created, Adam is created, Afar min ha'adama, from the dust of the earth, but also God blows into Adam, Nishmat Chaim, his life, his soul. And man and woman both represent this combination of the humanity, the earthly, and also the divine. And in the same way, God observes about mankind. Hashem observes about Adam, lo tov hiyod Adam levado, that is not good for man to be alone. And I say the same thing here, man, but also woman. It's through relationships with others that lead us to our own self-discovery. And perhaps this was the most painful aspect of Shimshon's life. Without having a peer, without being understood, without having real relationships, he was unable to come to his own self-understanding. And as we come to the close of his story, I have many mixed feelings about finishing the story of Shimshon. On the one hand, it was very painful to read and learn and describe Shimshon's self-destruction. But at the same time, this personal glimpse of Shimshon felt so rare and meaningful and really so revealing about Shimshon, but also perhaps also about ourselves. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmat, Frida Bat Moshe Eliyahu.